بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Iman is another word for happiness. From the very beginning, right till the very end, it is taking you on a path that is going to lead you to cheer and happiness. It is just because we do not understand the details of Iman, the details and the requirements of faith, that we fall into a state of gloominess. Had we only known and understood the details of Iman, then there would have been no reason for us to be gloomy, no reason for us to be down. Rather, every coming moment will be more enjoyable, more exciting, more interesting. In fact, Allah Ta'ala promises, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, that you hold on with me with firm reliance, firm trust and confidence, then I will give you an enjoyable life. But that is in proportion to how firmly you hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From your mind, from your heart, in every respect you're holding on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not unfaithful to Him, you're not unloyal to Him. And for the minor trials that come your way, you don't break away from Allah ta'ala. So every coming moment will be a common, will be a moment of enjoyment, ease. A moment of happiness and joy. Sometimes, to be able to appreciate that happiness, you go through a small patch of difficulty. One that works, right? Throughout the month, it seems that he's fine, he's in difficulty, he's in pain, he's in problem. At the end of the month, he is in happiness and cheer. But for the cheer, he had to go through that little bit patch of difficulty. But when he reflects over the rewards and the returns that he's going to get at the end of the month, that grief is no grief, the pain is no pain, the difficulty is no difficulty. In fact, anybody that comes in his way, he says, no, you're my enemy. You're bringing problems, you're throwing sand in my food. So he will consider him as an enemy. And that work that comes onto him, is considers it as a blessing. Customer comes in, doesn't say, hey, again this headache came. You don't say that. Although it is a headache, it's a responsibility to serve him, to see to him, that, to see that he's comfortable and at ease. It is a problem. But really you take it as a comfort. And the day that difficulty didn't come, that customer didn't come, you're crying. Hey, nobody's coming to the shop. Yet you're going to still eat the same thing. You're going to live under the same roof. But the day that person didn't come, you feel that was a day of difficulty. Allah Pak is displeased with me. Why the customers didn't come to the shop? So sometimes that difficulty also comes. That difficulty comes just to increase your happiness. If it were not for the cloudy and rainy day, you wouldn't have appreciated the rain. If it were not for death, you wouldn't have appreciated life. Now that appreciation only comes when there is a thing like death. If there wasn't a thing like blindness, you wouldn't have appreciated sight. So all these things is just for you to increase your happiness and your enjoyment. And therefore when it culminates, you're getting into Jannat, then the Jannati is shown his abode in Jahannam. That this would have been your abode in Jahannam. But we have saved you from this, we have delivered you from this, and we have brought you into Jannat. Why? Why was that done? It was done to show, to increase and enhance his enjoyment. So when he'll see Jahannam, as though he will hold his breath. And then when he sees Jannat, oh, what I have been saved of. Hazrat Mawla Thami Rahmatullah Alayh, when he came across that hadith, which says, Jahannam will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is too much of room in me still. And Allah Ta'ala will place his foot. And Jahannam will say, Qat, 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 bas, 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 enough now. Because he's squashed up now. He's squeezed. So he says, Qat, enough. I can't manage anything more now. Don't squeeze me anymore. And Jannat also will complain that I still have space in me. So Allah Ta'ala will create a creation and fill Jannat. Now, Mawlana says to his Ustad Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that you know, if it could be that we were that creation, we just created and put into Jannat, rather than going through all this difficulty, this rigmarole, such a big problem you're going through, from birth, difficulty, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created insan in difficulties, difficulties upon difficulties. From birth there is difficulty, then your infancy there is difficulty, then as a junior there is difficulty, as a middle-aged person there is difficulty. Sometimes it's fright, sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's loss, sometimes it's gain, sometimes it's expectation, sometimes it's betrayal, sometimes it's you are winning, sometimes you are losing. One after the other, one after the other. One hardly ended and the second one started off. And you thought, where you thought you were in complete control, then you lost something. You lost your health. In Urdu they say, Jab daant the to chane nahi the. Aur jab chane aaye to daant nahi. When, in other words, when you had the health, there was no wealth to enjoy. Now when the wealth came, the health is gone. So you can't have, very seldom you have the both. You have the health and enjoyment and have the health. Have the wealth and have the health. Both, very seldom you find that. So he expressed his feeling to his ustad, had we been that creation that we could have been just created and then placed into Jannat. So his ustad explained to him, in logo ko kya maza aega? That creation, what enjoyment will they go through? Because they didn't see difficulty, they didn't see pain, they didn't see grief, they didn't see distress, they didn't see constraints, they didn't see fear, they didn't see what it is to be on the edge. They didn't see all these things. One way they were just created and put into Jannat. So will they appreciate Jannat? But now you've gone through difficulty. Sometimes it's your wife, sometimes it's children, sometimes it's marriage, sometimes get them married, then they got their own children, the children get their problem. Sometimes it is birth, they are delivering, they got complication at the time of birth. Or the child is born, he got some complication in himself. Now, you in a state of constant anxiety. Now when you go through all this, then you really appreciate Jannat. So Iman really is a recipe, is a prescription for happiness. Every other ibadat is a branch of Iman, right? Being a branch of Iman, so its reward is also temporary. Until you're doing that ibadat, you are getting rewarded. You in namaz, you got reward, you got getting sawab. Your namaz ended, your sawab ended. You're doing some charitable work, as long as you're doing the charitable work, you're in sawab. You ended the charitable work, that sawab is also ended. You in roza, so you're getting sawab for as long as you're keeping the roza. The roza has ended, dawa your sawab has also ended. But now there are certain ibadat that the reward for it is recurring all the time. 24/7 and the reward is just recurring. You keep a beard, 24/7 you're just getting sawab. You're sleeping, you're getting sawab. Playing squash, you're getting sawab still. You are socializing with your friends, eating walima, dawat and all that. You're still getting sawab. Right? You're doing business, you're getting sawab. Why? You are bearing the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So at any given moment, you are in sawab. At least for that one thing. At least you can say, Allah Ta'ala, at least one thing I got. Man. I got my sawab at least for one thing. Other things I may be losing. But I got this beard. And I'm in the state of sawab 24/7 at any given time. I'm sleeping, I'm in sawab. In toilet, I'm in sawab. I'm busy with my wife, I'm in sawab. Gee? At any given time, any given moment, any given time, anywhere, any place, any person. But you are in the state of sawab. What a great blessing. Why? Because you are wearing it all the time. But now look at the opposite as well. No beard. then in a state of perpetual sin, because you flouted and you broken the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now you're in namaz, but you're in guna. Imagine the person is in namaz, but he's in guna. He's going for hajj, but he's in guna. He's coming for umrah, but he's in guna. In any given state, but he is in the state of guna. Here, in any given state, the person is in sawab. Here, in any given state, he is in the state of azab. See that? The same with nikah. Nikah also is the same. You made nikah, and from the moment you made nikah, right until the point that you are remaining in nikah, you're in sawab all the time. You can cheer up with your wife, see, you are in sawab, alhamdulillah. You got nothing else to cheer, you're getting old now, nothing else to cheer. At least you can say, you are in sawab at least. Right? Alhamdulillah, we are in sawab, we are not losing out. Otherwise, in material, the investment closes, everything closes there, at that point. Here, you're still in sawab. You can at least console her and comfort her, that alhamdulillah, we're old. At least our balances are not old. They're still growing. They're still going. They're moving up. Alhamdulillah. Because we are in the state of nikah. Whether we are in the toilet, whether we are in the bath, whether in the bed, whether we are playing with each other, we are amusing ourselves, romancing, doing whatever with our wives. Or without our wives. But we are in the state of nikah. You are sitting, you are talking, you are moving, you are traveling. Gee, you're visiting a zoo, whatever. But you are in the state of perpetual sawab. Beard. The nikah, and the same applies to iman. Because everything else is a branch. Iman is the root of all ibadat. Without iman you can't function. Can you function? Can anything function without iman? You're doing a lot of sadaqah, a lot of zakat, everything you're doing, but you got no iman. Does that carry any weight? Nothing. So that's the root, that's the essence. So if the branch can bring about recurring ibadat, won't iman bring recurring ibadat? So iman is bringing ibadat all the time, sawab all the time. From the moment you are in iman, and your sawab is just escalating all the time, you're just moving. It's not a point in time where your sawab is stopping. It's just moving, escalating, moving. Nowadays, to explain to us and to impress upon us, it's like investing in gold, you know. One friend of mine, Ashraf, Allah Ta'ala forgive him, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur, some about 20 years, 25 years ago, he asked me what to invest in. I don't know about investment. I don't know what is investment, how you invest. I just said, go into gold. And that thing was going at about 100 rands at the time, 100 rand or 200 rand at that time. And now, 14, 15,000 rand, the same thing. Right? So it's like gold. As you investing, it's just moving on. Is not coming to a point where it's standstill, when it's stopped. It's just moving. Allah Pak maaf kare, but the capitalistic mind is like that today. That the money mustn't be just sitting down. It must be on the move, it must be working for you. You can sit down, it's alright, but the money must keep working for you. Can't. Oh no, you got some more, just put in one investment. Got some more, put some more in the other investment. That money and the cell phone are identical. Both makes you walk, makes you run. Doesn't keep you still. You don't see that person got a phone, it's got a sudden jolt. He wants to move, walk around. See? So the money also, before you had that money, you were sitting down, you were calm, salah, ghastly, everything was going on very well. But that money came, it shook you up. It shook you up, hey, do this now, go do this, invest like this and get a better home lifestyle. Standard must improve. See? Before the money came, you were calm, cool, relaxed with your friends, everything. But the money came, it's no more funny now. Now it's on the move. So that is iman. Iman, it just carries on improving all the time. There isn't a point in time where that iman is not bringing you reward. It's bringing you thawab all the time. No matter what you are. What kachra you are, but you got iman. But the thawab is just escalating. It is moving, it's recurring all the time. Not a point that where it stopped at any point. Now this iman has got certain requisites, certain requirements. Everything for its coexistence, it requires, it's got some requirements. For a happy marriage, there are some requirements. For the rent is to come to you nicely, there are certain requirements, you put up the place but you neglected it. Now will you get that thing sustaining you? It won't sustain you. For good health, there are certain requirements. You know, you're so healthy, you can live through 70, 80 years, 90 years, you can live. But there are certain requirements. You starve the body, you don't provide the right type of nourishment, you comply. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with a good life. This car can last you 15, 20 years, but there are certain requirements. You follow the requirements and the thing will give you that type of service. So everything has got certain requirements. So Iman also got certain requirements. It will take care of you, but you fulfill the requirements and it will take care of you. Hazrat Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous hadith comes several places in Bukhari Sharif. So he had an orchard, a farm, right? And his orchard is on the upper end of the stream. So the stream is coming through his farm first. And then it's an Ansari's farm that is adjacent to his farm. So, Islamically it is Zubayr radiallahu anhu's legal, democratic right that he can take the use of the water. The stream is running through, he can divert the whole flow into his farm, take until he is satisfied. His water requirements are complete, he can take till that point. And then divert the flow of the water into the farm of his neighbor. So that is his legal democratic right. So he exercised his right. He did nothing out of place. That was my right. I have taken what was due to me. This Ansari wasn't very happy about the whole thing. He disputed and he says to Zubayr radiallahu anhu, you know what, just allow the water to flow into my farm. So Zubayr says that it's my farm, I've got the right. Zubayr radiallahu anhu is the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, foibai of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His mother is Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, and Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anhu is the paternal aunt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Must know something about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also want to know, who was the first person who accepted Islam in your family? Won't you want to know? You want to know, who was the first person? How many generations above? 10 generations, 20 generations, which century it was, where he was, and how, what turned him to Islam? So more than our parents is the Sahaba-i-Kiram. And more than the Sahaba-i-Kiram is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should know about his lineage, know who he was, who his uncles were, who his aunts were. Do we discuss these things with our children? Small, big, do we discuss it with them? There must be an Islamic orientation. Within the home, there must be a color of Islam. See, today's South African, average South African, what he feels, so I've got money, then I must take my children for a ride. Drive, ride, must take him. The beach, tired of the beach, then Bergs, tired of the Bergs, then Umrah. But the whole motivation is the same. Take them out a little bit. They get tired, they get mad just now, just stay at home. So if you look at an average life, at least I would say between 50% and 30% of the income is used just for driving, just for entertainment. At the end of the drive and the run and all, what you got? What did you get? You think yourself, sometimes you analyze, what did you get? Before, people used to run down and criticize the blacks, you know. They earn and they earn, they sweat and they sweat and they sweat, come to the end of the year. In that Christmas weekend and everything is bust. Now, are we any different? Ask ourselves, within ourselves, ask ourselves, are we any different? We earn, 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 multiply, multiply. Come the end of the year, though, bust everything, finish. Come January again, we start off again. From Alif Ba again. Right, spend the money, but spend it correctly. Azharji Rahmatullah used to say to students, when he used to address students, so I'm seeing the same type of mentality is entering and creeping into students. The holiday came and they're running here, running there, running there, everywhere. By stay at home, you'll benefit yourself in three ways. You'll benefit yourself, and you'll benefit yourself in three ways. Now you're doing mental work. A student is doing mental work, so you need to refurbish yourself mentally. What type of food you're supposed to be taking to refurbish yourself? Ask, find out. Because you need the type of energy. You're having a nice, good rest. So when your madrasa is starting off again, the term is starting off again, you are fresh, you are enthusiastic, you are looking forward to the term. But now you exhaust yourself and everywhere, you have to start again. My door is gone, kachan, I must start off again. So you don't feel the interest, you don't feel the yearning. Because the happiness that you had, you went and burnt it out. When you burnt it out, now you don't have the yearning. Now it's being done, but it's being done grudgingly. So the first thing that you will enjoy is you will refurbish yourself. You are taking stock of yourself. Where is my weakness, my weak points? As a student, where is my weak points? I need to go and correct those weak points. As a businessman, also you are staying at home. You don't have to be at the shop 24/7 every day in the week. You don't have to be there. Sometimes you can close off, you can close up. If you're living a moderate life, one day in the week you closed up. For example, a Friday you closed up. In respect for the day you have closed. Mufsab Rahmatullah used to say that one businessman in Bombay, he ordered some needles. So by mistake they sent that whole consignment, whole container, and it was a needle without an eye. Imagine a needle without the eye. A whole big container has been sent. He's got it from Taiwan or from Japan, wherever he's got it from. But it's come here. It's landed right to his shop. Now to go and return that thing, it's such a big rigmarole. Go back and they'll refund you. And you must prove to them that this was not the thing that you had ordered. So it's a big... I'm still worried about it. But his whole routine was, he'll never open the shop before the Jummah. Jummah, I need to be... respecting the time. I need to go and with itminan and with respect and with sukoon, I need to go to the masjid early. Do my qabristan round. Everything, all the loose ends, everything is done. And then after Jummah, then gracefully, respectfully, in compliance with the command of Allah Ta'ala, فَإِذَا قُذِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. After namaz, then you go for your sustenance. Allah Pak doesn't hold you, then you go out. Now, he's got this consignment, this whole thing came, and a wrong thing came in. Now, he just opened his shop after Jummah. One person came from the blue, I want a whole container. If there's three containers, I want three containers. But I want this type of a needle that doesn't have an eye. Where he came from, Allah Pak sent him. His respect to the Jummah, and Allah blessed him. See, Allah Pak says, وَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. It's a grace belonging to Allah Ta'ala. But you've been gracious to Him, so He'll be gracious to you. You have the relationship. That's why I say, Iman is a recipe for happiness. You show Him that loyalty, you show Him the love, you show Him the faithfulness, and then you see how He will reply, how He will respond to you. Anyway, we're getting at this Zubair radiallahu anhu's incident. So this person is disputing with Zubair radiallahu anhu. Zubair says, my right, my democratic, my legal right, I'm exercising my right. I'm not usurping your right. I'm not encroaching onto your right. Anyway, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, this is Zubair radiallahu anhu's argument, and this is what this Ansari has to say. Rasulullah wasallam knows, obviously it is the right for Zubair radiallahu anhu, but because he's a cousin, so he's a ghar ke aadmi hai, you can't push him down a little bit. Ghar ke aadmi hai, he's a man of the family, so you can push him down a little bit. So he asked for a compromise out of court settlement. Zubair, what do? You just take sufficient water that may perhaps moisten the roots of your trees, right? Plantations moisten the roots, you've got a little bit. And then just allow the water to flow into his plum, right? When he's taken his requirements, then you can always water your garden, water your orchard afterwards. Now, this was in favor of the Ansari, and he didn't realize, he didn't appreciate that was in my favor. Right. He went and said, "In kana ibn ammatik," just because it is your cousin, therefore you have ruled in his favor. Now, see, he misconstrued the whole thing. فَتَلَّوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Rasul Sam obviously disappointed at this. So Nabi Sam When he saw that this person doesn't appreciate, he's not showing any gratitude, any gratefulness, then now let's come to law now, black and white. Because we went for a compromise, we went for an out-of-court settlement, you should have appreciated, you should have been grateful, but you're not showing any gratitude. That means you don't have the understanding of appreciation. So then let's go with the law then. The law is then, oh Zubair, you take your full requirement. Your full requirement, you take that much, and thereafter you allow the water to flow. Anyway, on that occasion, this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed, showing what is the criteria of iman. You know, all of us want to live iman, we want to die iman, and we want to be brought up in the grouping of iman. Don't we want that? We want that for all of ourselves, our children, for everybody else. So this verse was revealed on that occasion to show what is the criteria. How will you conform? Or how must I conform to that criteria? We make the dua very well. Allahumma ahyini mu'mina wa amitni mu'mina wahshurni fi zumratil mu'minin. Allah, let me live as a mu'min, let me die as a mu'min, and let me be raised up as a mu'min. But then how does that happen? So the verse of the Quran was revealed on that occasion. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Pak is impressing this point so firmly that he starts off with an oath. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. No, there is no iman. Iman is not valid. By my honor, by my dignity, there is no iman. So there is no iman. If you don't follow this, you don't conform to this criteria, then there is no iman. Iman is not acceptable. Hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum. The first requirement is you appoint Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the judge in all affairs. In any dispute, now what Nabi sallallahu has to say? Now what happens to us is when you've got a dispute, and this is a contact, this is a connection call, let me speak to him. This person here will listen to me, you know. So I ask you, ask yourself, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to this person because of the fear of Allah ta'ala, or because you feel he will tilt the scale slightly for me? So if you've got that within your mind, that he's going to tilt the scale, really, you're not right. No matter what you are, how pious you may be, but you're going to a particular person so that he may tilt the scale slightly in your favor. Where something can be construed and misconstrued, you've gone to the person, why? That he will just tilt the scale a little bit. Make it favorable for me. Make it work for me. So I ask you, that is that a true relationship? Is your relationship with Allah Ta'ala sincere? Is it pure? Is it clean? There is some impurity. There is some contamination. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't want any contamination. You can have it for yourself. Take it. You take it. I don't want it. You've got a liter of milk and you added one drop of pisab. You can have it yourself. I don't want it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that. You take it for yourself. I don't want this contamination. So you feel so independent of yourself, you feel so proud of yourself that one drop of pisab and so you don't want that. So how will Allah tolerate it? That one drop of contamination, he doesn't need. Your ibadat, he doesn't need. Does he need your ibadat? Does he need your service? Does he need all your type of struggle and your dedication and your devotion? He doesn't need it. It's for yourself. Man amila salihan fali nafsi. You did something righteous, it's for your own self, for your own good. It's not, it doesn't benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way. So in all your disputes, you come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is the final judge. I say many a times that it all is approximately 32 years that I'm here now. I'm not at all interested in arbitration. Because everybody comes with a mind of his own. As long as you speak his language, you sing his song, then you are very good Maulana. Very pious, very righteous, there isn't a buzruk like yourself. But the moment it went against him, he's prejudiced, man. The Maula is not right. There is something wrong. He doesn't listen to the case very, very well. You know, he is something wrong with him. So, to be right, you have to be conforming with him. Then you are right. I think only one or two cases that came to me, reached me. Man comes in like this, Maulana, you tell us what is right, what is wrong. You are the first stop, you are the last stop. I'm not out for fatwa hunting and fatwa shopping. I'm just out to see what is the right. You tell me, I don't need any proof. This is the first stop, this is the last stop. Whether I have to pay or they have to pay me, you just tell me what I must do. So I told him, but you know what you do? You pay your brother out 5 million. I don't say you that it's an obligation. But just to settle this whole thing out, Allah gave you enough, just give him and finish it up. Whoever else, just give them 5 and finish it up. So Mu'adh, this is what you suggest, yeah. I told him, I'm not saying this is a fatwa. Just as a settlement, to bring about some happiness within the family, and not to aggravate this whole thing, just give this and finish it up. Assalamu alaikum, and he's gone. Straight away I heard, oh, he did it, straight. And Allah gave him after that. You see, the hadith says, لا تحسي فيحسي الله عليك. You want to play mathematics with Allah Ta'ala. You want to play accounting with Allah Ta'ala. Then He'll give it to you like that. Then He'll count it and give it to you. لا تحسي فيحسي الله عليك. And you're giving with an open heart. My Allah Pak, He gave me, I am giving. I'm giving with an open heart. Allah Pak will give me. You've got that relationship with Allah Ta'ala. That it is His mercy, it is His kindness, it is His compassion. I was nowhere and He brought me here. So when I'll give also, He'll replace me. He'll replace me. You've got that type of relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala looks at you also in that way. لا تحسي فيحسي الله عليك. So this is the first point of this criteria, that in all your disputes you will come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you don't conform to this, then really this is a very entry level of Islam, very entry level of Iman. Iman is invalid. Imagine someone comes up to you and tells you your passport is invalid. Gee, can you make any progress afterwards? You can't. You can't go anywhere. You're just stuck. I tell you that you got a passport, but it's invalid. Doesn't work. Any counter you go to, why go back? You're going to this counter, that counter, third counter. Invalid. Why? It doesn't work. Iman is invalid. The second criteria, فَلَا ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتِ. The second point in this criteria, that you don't find any constriction, any reservation in accepting the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No restriction, no grudgy feeling. Why did this have to happen? Why did he have to say this? So I feel no restriction. I feel no reservation. I don't find any type of narrowness within my mind and within my heart. But this is the decision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now look within our own lives. Do we feel any restriction? You know, I am a Muslim now, so I can't go to a casino. I can't go to the sibaya. I can't gamble. I can't do it now. It's haram now. I can't do it now. Ramadan time came now again. I have to start fasting all day. See, had I been a kafir, na'uzubillah, then I could have been enjoying. I ask you, is there iman in that person? No iman. He is remorseful of his iman. He is regretful why he is a believer. So I ask you, is there any iman in the person? There's no iman in the person. He's remorseful. Oh, these kafirs, you know what? They can take big insurance policies. They can have facilities in the banks, so many millions. And see what strides they're making. Johnson and Johnson, Coca-Cola, and what strides they're making. Worldwide, international companies, and we are still playing around, 4x4 shops we got. 2x2. 4x4 is still too big. 2x2 shops, small shops we're going. And see what strides they're making. Now, because of interest, now we laid back. We could have got this, you know, we could have covered it up, and we could have been roaring in business. But now we laid back, we are Muslims, now what can we do now? We can't have the situation. So you are regretful, you are remorseful of your faith. So you find absolutely no reservation. The Muazzin called Hayya ala Salah at Fajr time. Oh, again he had to call. He got no other work. Bijuke kaam ni malai na pahe. So no other work. And when you got that iman, say, Allah Pak, bless this Muazzin. Hey, I was just in the deep of the sleep. And he brought me out of the state of negligence. So you're happy with him. Every command of Allah Ta'ala you are happy with. You got a wife in your life, so every aspect of hers you are happy with. You know, everything of yours I like. I like your cooking, I like your this, I like everything. And the day you tell her, you know what, I don't like you, man. I don't like you now. You know, my parents all just told me to get married to you. I just got stuck up like this. I ask you, is there any relationship now? She's thinking to herself, no, is she stuck up in this marriage now? She can't move out of this marriage. And just because of family pressure and all, he came into this marriage. So will she have any love? Will there be any bonding? No bonding, no love, no muhabbat. There's no production in this marriage. So like that marriage, that bond cannot work. This iman cannot work. You say, no, I am stuck up now. I am born into a Muslim home now. I can't help it. So that iman doesn't work. So every injunction of Allah, I am happy with it. Injunction can refer to two types of commands. One is the laws of the Sharia. We all know, right? Faraz, haram, all we know that. One is the aspects of takdeer. Someone passed away, something happened, some tragedy happened. So you're not asking Allah Ta'ala, why had this to happen to me? You're not asking Allah Ta'ala. So no, Allah Ta'ala, I accept it. Allah, make it easy for me. I can't manage it, but make it easy. But I accept it. It's your command. I accept it. Because I can't see beyond my nose. You know what is today, what is tomorrow, and what's after a billion, trillion years. You know it. So I can only see so much, and you can see so much more. So I'm happy with your command. It's your decision. It happened. I don't ask for the tragedy, but now you decide. Uridu wisalahu. وَيُرِيدُ حَجْرِي فَأُوْسِرُ مَا يُوْسِرُ لِمَا أُوْسِرُ. He intends to keep away. The beloved intends to keep a distance. I intend to meet. So never mind, I prefer that, what the beloved likes, to what I like. So Allah Ta'ala knows. You don't know. Allahu ya'lamu antum la ta'lamu. He knows it. He knows what's now, what's better for you now, what's better for you for a million years later. You don't know it. You just ask for it because this is how you see and reason things. I quote this example. It's a real life example. But just to reinforce this thought and this concept in our minds. Some 30 years ago, one doctor got married. You know, he got married some long before 30 years, but I met up with this doctor some 30 years ago. So in confidence he tells me, you know what, I had a desire to get married to a certain girl. You know, I just wanted, I was head over heels just to get married to this girl. Very, very impassioned about it. But anyway, things didn't work out for me, it worked out for someone else. Now, I know the both families, the boys and the girls I know both. The doctor and their wives I know. So anyway, I just told him, just be pleased with the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala, be patient, inshallah, time will say everything. After 25 years now, I met the doctor one day. He came from wherever he came. So I had to speak to him. Now I'm seeing all the children, the prosperity, everything else I'm seeing. Now after I saw the prosperity on his side and on that other girl's side, I asked him, Dr. Saab, now you want the swap. That he is that wife that you wanted with the children, you wanted with a total baggage against your wife and your children. Do you want that? He said, no, it was my naivety. Alhamdulillah, materially I'm much more stronger. Physically, I'm stronger. My children are stronger. Mentally, they are stronger. And those people, they may be good, but not as strong as me. Physically, materially, financially, mentally, in every respect, they're not strong as me. So it was my naivety. I didn't know that it's coming with this baggage. If I wanted that girl, it would have come with that entire baggage. But it took 25 years for me to come to my understanding. You see, now some things comes in life, but after 25, 30 years, then you this was the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. I didn't know about it. So sometimes something happens, you don't know it. You don't know it doesn't mean there is no wisdom in it. There is some wisdom, but time will say. Right? So when it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala, then a mu'min's response must be, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. I'm pleased with Allah Ta'ala as my cherisher and nourisher. He has brought me up. He brought me up with love and care and mercy. I'm happy with him. For every step on this journey, every step in my development, I'm happy with him. As a child, I'm happy with him. As a grown-up, I'm happy with him. As an adult, I'm happy with him. In every step of the development, I'm happy with him. I am sad with myself that I didn't do it rightly. But with him, I'm happy. However, he kept me, He kept me with this complexion, with this nationality, with this family, with this race. I'm happy with it. I'm not disappointed with it. How he brought me up, I don't want to be disappointed with my Rabb for anything. I don't want to be disappointed. How can I be disappointed? He's given me so much far than what I expect, far than what I could imagine. Must I be disappointed with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I can't be. So raditu billahi rabba wa bil Islam, when he chose Islam as the way of my life and he blessed me with it, honored me with it. See? What he honored the Anbiya, he honored me with. So another, I will drown with tears of love and tears of happiness. You've done so much for me. Allah Pak, I don't have the means to thank you, to appreciate. So with that spirit you're saying, raditu billahi rabba wa bil Islam deena. See, by bring some life in your ibadat. In the words that you say, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, these are small words, but bring some life into it. Don't just do it as a routine. I don't say you're not going to get sawab. But really, there's no life. But you say, raditu billahi rabba. And you sing, Allah, what you did for me. So much you did. So much you did. You did so much for me. Allah, what I could have been. I could have been in the gutters today. I could have been in the casino today. Allah, where you brought me? Allah, you did it. Allah, you brought me up. You cherished me. You nourished me. You gave the direction to me. Allah, if it weren't for you, what would happen to me? Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam rasula. And Allah Ta'ala, you allowed me to be from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala, I can't attach a price to this. Really, no price. Priceless. Where the Anbiya alayhi wasallam wanted to be followers of this ummah, and people like us, we are rotten to the core. Allah Ta'ala, you allowed us to be from this ummah. Allah Ta'ala, really, I can't thank you enough. Allah Ta'ala, I thank you, and I thank you over and over again. Now, you want to be a happy person, then be happy with Allah Ta'ala. I tell you, it's a simple procedure, but just be happy with Allah Ta'ala. See the favors that He's done, the favors, the gifts, the grace that He's done, step upon step, from moment to moment, from minute to minute. But look at the grace. Don't keep crying, like an Indian film now. Keep on crying, keep on. No, don't do that. It'll be a calamity. It'll be a pain that you have inflicted upon yourself. No, don't inflict the pain. You're not going to get any sawab. Think about all old sad granny stories. Okay, sawab nima. It's no sawab that. It's not a sawab that. You think now it's all old stories, how you went through this pain and this difficulty and whatever else. There's no sawab for that. So why do you remind yourself of all that? Do you need that in your life? Be a happy person. How many favors Allah Ta'ala has favored you? Can't you think about His gifts? Can't you think about His gifts? They say Ismail was a very famous grammatarian, you know. He was intihai badsurat, as ugly as ever. And just to the contrary, his wife was as beautiful as ever. Real opposites, total different direction. So he said, alhamdulillah, you are Jannati, I am Jannati. See, positive. He says, I will go to Jannat because of shukr. You'll go to Jannat because of sabr. Now, there is a positive dimension to everything. Really, there is a positive dimension, but we don't look at the positive dimension. You know, we want to deliberately go and self-inflict the pain. So, raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam rasoola wa nabiya. So, this is the second requirement in the conformity and in the preservation of this faith. And the third one, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, then you give in yourself total submission, absolute submission. See? So first is, in all your dispute, your misunderstanding, whatever you had, you refer it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously when he's alive, so by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if he's not around, then whoever is the representative of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hadith says it, وَسَيَكُونُ الْخُلَفَىٰ فَيَكْثِرُونَ. After me, there's not going to be any Nabi. But there will be my representatives. There will be Khalifas. Right? And they will be plentiful. And they will be leading the path. In other words, they will be my representative. You see me, you see them, you're seeing the Sunnah. You see them, you're seeing the Sunnah. So you're seeing the Sunnah internally, apparently you're seeing the Sunnah in them. Right? Then consider that person to be the representative of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and carry on, continue with your way. So the third requirement was for you, sallimu taslima, then you give in, and give in totally. You submit, and you submit totally, give in. Allah Pak has commanded, Allah Pak has decided and He has chosen this path for me, and He has decided this for me, so I give in, and I give in wholeheartedly. He has brought me from nowhere and I give myself to Him. Now you see the enjoyment, you see the love, you see the happiness. Now one is the requirement of faith, right? What requirement? What is the criteria? What is the benchmark? And the other is, then how do you preserve this faith? See? How do you preserve this faith? If there is a requirement, a formula, then there is also a way to preserve this faith. So the easy, simple approach to preserve, to preserve this faith, one simple way is, after every Faraz Namaz, then you make this dua. Allahumma tawaffana muslimin wa alhikna bis salihin. Tawaffani muslima wa alhikni bis salihin. Allah Ta'ala, let me die in submission. Total, absolute, complete submission. In total submission. I am pleased to see you. You are pleased to meet me. I am pleased to embrace you. To come to your threshold. I am pleased to come there. And you are pleased to meet me. Allah Ta'ala, make that happen. Is a point for us to consider in all the works that we do, whether sadaqah, whether umrah, whether namaz, whether striving, whatever else we do, right? We do all this for what? For a good, enjoyable culmination. We want it to culminate correctly. All the works we done, we spent and we did whatever else. So what is the whole idea? The whole idea is we must culminate, must end up correctly. But for this ending up, do we make this dua? After every faraz namaz, Allah Ta'ala, let me end up correctly. That you happy with me, I am happy with you. You want to embrace me and I want to embrace you. I want to kiss your feet, Allah Ta'ala, give me that honor. Can't we do that? Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq al-sikr.